أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at Surah Al-Kahf, Ayahs 96 to 99. We will look at the Tafsir. In the previous lesson, we began learning the story of Dhulqarnain, the righteous king, who traveled from east and west of the earth. We looked at how he traveled to the far west, the far east, and then lastly, his third journey. We learn about the encounters with the different people and wherever he traveled. Now we will continue with his third expedition, where he meets the people who live near the path between two mountain ranges. It is not said where the location of the mentioned area is, but we learn how there are two tribes on the other side who come and cause destruction across their land. Therefore, they seek help of Dhulqarnain to help them by creating a barrier between them and the two tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The tribe had offered Dhulqarnain to pay a tribute in the form of wages or a tax, but Dhulqarnain refuses and says, "What his Rabb or Lord has bestowed is better than what they can offer as a payment." So he refuses to take compensation, but asks them to help him in building the barrier. So here we continue with the story. Dhulqarnain says, "Atuni zubar al-hadid, bring me or give me sheets of iron. The wall will be constructed with metal," indicating the barrier to be built would be strong and fortified. Then Dhulqarnain says, "Hatta idha sawa bayn al-saddafain," until when they leveled between the two sides, meaning the iron sheets filled the gap of the mountain and reached the top of the mountains and became leveled. Then he said, "Qala anfuhu," blow on the fire. As a village woman of Indo-Pak countries, they blow on the fire to make it more intense in heat so they can cook on it. So he tells them to blow on the fire. We see that he includes and involves the tribe people in this task. They are working under his supervision. Dhulqarnain could have put his own army to work, but has the people of the tribe involved in building this wall. We should learn that we should not expect others to do our work for us, as individuals or as a nation. If we lack the knowledge or know-how, then we can get help from experts or learn how to do it ourselves. Here we learn how advanced and skilled Dhulqarnain was, because making such a huge wall would not be an easy endeavor. Hatta idha ja'alahu nara, until when it became a fire. The iron from the intense heat started melting as lava. Qala atuni ufrigh alayhi qitra. He said, "Now give me, so I will pour upon it the molten copper." So when the iron became red hot, they poured over it the molten copper. Even today, it is known that iron alone is not as strong as when iron and copper are mixed together. They did not make the wall with bricks, but with iron and molten copper, so it does not break after Dhulqarnain leaves. Here we see Dhulqarnain giving instructions. Also, we learn how big this endeavor was and how huge the fire was that was kindled. Also, we learned that knowledge, skill, and means Dhulqarnain was endowed with, and wherever he went, he used his means and knowledge to establish justice. As we learn about his previous expeditions and story of victories, this is the foundation of a successful nation. When there is justice, only then there is peace and security. Where there are injustices, then there is insecurity, restlessness, and abundance of crimes. So Zulkarnain established justice. We too have means. But what good works do we use them for? We see how using the means, he benefited humanity. He didn't use the means for his own self. As when people have a lot of wealth, they relax. But whatever Zulkarnain was blessed with in terms of means and material resources, he kept traveling to establish justice and helping mankind. He set up a system of justice in whichever land he conquered. Just as when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he became the Khalifa, and during his caliphate, Islamic empire grew vastly, reaching other continents. The foundation of his rule was justice and equity. He would say that even if a dog died at the edge of Dajla, he worried getting questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. He would worry so much even for a dog, making sure even it was not deprived. He didn't just go plunder and kill wherever his army went. As the Tatars and the army of Bukhnasar, known in English as Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrud, these were all barbaric kings who killed those they conquered. So Zulkarnain, because of his justice and benefiting humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him in the Quran. فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. So they were not able that they could scale this wall, nor they were able to dig a hole in it. The wall was made with iron sheets and then covered with molten brass. So they could not and were not able to climb it, nor able to make a hole in it, nor able to come out. So this was a very strong wall. So Zulkarnain had the worldly knowledge and knowledge of religion. How did he know religious knowledge? He made such a huge wall using metal sheets and molten copper over it, which was a big endeavor and achievement. So he could have felt proud of himself. But if a person who recognizes Allah has piety and fears Allah, even after doing such great big things, they remain humbled. He was a great king who accomplished such a big feat. Yet he says, قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. He says, this is a mercy from my Lord. This happened due to ability given to me by my Lord. He does not say, I am proud of myself, as kids say these days. His conduct was that he attributed all good to Allah, said Allah is one who did it. So whoever gets blessings or ability to do good, and as a true believer, is always humble and never ascribes achievements to themselves, saying, I do this and I do that. As many people, when someone speaks to them, they start boasting about their achievements, or they talk about their good deeds and their piety, while they should say, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I do not have any ability of my own, except what Allah facilitates for me. As Shu'ayb alayhi salam said, or if anyone accomplishes something great in the worldly field or religion, whatever they do, they cannot give the credit to themselves. Rather should say, هَذَا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّي. If anyone had made a structure as Zulkarnain, they could have said, look at my great design and construction. By the attitude of a person, we can see one who recognizes their Lord versus one without any recognition or fear of Allah. They are not alike. We learn humility from this great ruler, while we do not have any authority or rulership of a kingdom or any position of significance. such as a mayoral position of a city, even then we have pride. For all that we have, we should say, Haza rahmatum min Rabbi. From this we learn that he had knowledge of religion. This is a big lesson for us, how to humble ourselves no matter what accomplishments we make in our lives. If we do any good, we should thank who gave us this ability to do it. There is no need for pride, either in the good deeds that we do, nor in the worldly field. We cannot give credit to ourselves. If anyone is granted ability to accomplish something great, they should humble themselves and not ascribe it to themselves, but ascribe the good to Allah. For whatever good we do, our condition is such that if we get a fever, we cannot even go to the bathroom. Then how can we be proud? If we have a headache, we cannot even speak. And at night, if we cannot sleep well at night, we cannot even get up for Fajr. We are taught when we hear azan and have to get up to pray, should say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power except with Allah. We do not even have the ability to change our own position. So we learn from Dhulqarnain, Haza rahmatum min Rabbi. We should not only say this, but feel this in our heart, knowing how limited we are in our abilities, and not feel proud. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا. Dhulqarnain doesn't say the wall will remain forever, nor that no one can bring it down. Nor does he say that the weather will break it down, nor the enemy will penetrate it. But he says, when the promise of my Lord comes, it will become crushed, demolished. When the command of Allah comes for its breaking, it will not remain standing. In his saying this, it indicates that no one else would be able to break it. He does not say that no one could break it. I made such a fortified wall. وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقَّى. And the promise of your Lord is true. وَتَرَكْنَا. And we left those who are trapped there, يَعْجُوجَ مَعْجُوجَ. بَعْدَهُمْ. Some of them, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَأْمُوجُ فِي الْبَعْدِ. That day, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be let loose like waves on one another. When the promised time near the Day of Judgment will approach, they will be let loose as animals that are entrapped. They are let out, they run out. They will be in such large numbers. When the promised time of their coming out comes, they will come out as waves, waves upon waves, like waves of the oceans. وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا. And the trumpet will be blown, then we will gather them all together, mankind, jinn, animals, including Ya'juj and Ma'juj, all mankind from their beginning till the end. If they are meant, then their numbers will be as waves upon waves. But if we take it as Ya'juj and Ma'juj, then Allah will gather everyone, because after their coming, the day of Qiyamah is very near. What do we learn? We learn that the Yahud and the idolaters of Makkah are being told that Dhulqarnain was a great king who was humble. And you, people of Makkah, didn't have anything compared to what Dhulqarnain had, yet you are being arrogant. He had so many conquests and traveled so many lands, and how he did favors to people. This is one thing being told to them. Secondly, we see that if anyone is given authority and power, such as that given to Dhulqarnain, he cannot be compared to even the kings of today. If we look at power and rule that was given to him by Allah, he was very powerful, but he never misused his authority. There is a big lesson for us in this story. Whether someone is a king or a person who gets a position of authority and power. Usually, anyone with this type of authority, as we learned about the four powerful kings of all time. For us, it means whoever gets any level of authority can be a ministry or official position or presidency of a company. When one gets it, and a person has authority over certain people to either do good or to be harsh. When there are people under this authority, it can include a position in an office, a government, or just being head in a household, or anywhere else. Whenever anyone gets powers, their thinking changes and ego sets in. Because when one gets power, they also have wealth and recognition of people, and then have certain amount of authority that others under them have to follow. At that time, how should this person of authority behave? We see a good example in Dzulqarnain. He is one who does as Allah wants, not as his ego wants. As an ego can easily get inflated when they get recognition. Also, whenever people commend the person of authority, it only inflates their ego. Then he is unable to correct his or her wrongful behavior and reform himself. He doesn't even like to hear that he is wrong because the ego is so inflated. We see how Dzulqarnain stays within his limits. Wherever he goes, he could have been unjust, but instead, he instills the system of Allah, where wrongdoers and oppressors would be dealt with in a harsh manner, and those who did good would get a good reward from Allah and dealt by Him with ease in this world. Then we saw that when He came to the people, Dzulqarnain doesn't say, "I will go and kill these Ya'juj and Ma'juj and take care of them once and for all," but agrees to make a wall. We also learn that there is a promised time for Qiyamah, which no one knows about. And Dzulqarnain knows that when the promised time or hour comes, the wall would fall, it would become crumbled. The wall no one could breach. Near the day of Qiyamah, this wall will break, and these tribes will come out. And Dzulqarnain knew about this. Now we will look at Ya'juj and Ma'juj. These are two nations. They are mentioned twice in the Quran. They are mentioned here in Surah Al-Kahf and then in Surah Al-Anbiya. Apart from their mention in the Quran, they are mentioned in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But we do not learn a lot of information about these tribes. Mufassireen, or scholars of tafsir, have stated their opinions about them, and we get some information from Israeli narrations. They are mentioned as Gog and Magog. There are many interpretations about them. We will look at what is said about them in the Quran and a hadith, but first we will look at Surah Al-Anbiya, ayahs 95 and 96. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that it was unlawful upon a civilization that we destroyed that it be restored until when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are let loose, and they will descend or swoop down from every elevation. They will come running from every place of height, running as waves upon waves. We cannot question the Quran and a hadith, but there are various interpretations by the scholars of tafsir. Some have said one thing and some something else. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been called the forces of evil, and some have called them something else. Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani has stated about who Ya'juj and Ma'juj are, where they live, and where is this wall. This is what some Mufassireen have said. After saying Allah knows best, he adds that my opinion is that they are creation between man and jinn. He says, their fathers are from human, and from their women they are not related to Hawa, but towards jinn. Where is this nation and the wall? Some scholars say this is the wall of China, and the Chinese are the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But this is not the case. Everyone knows about the history of Chinese people and about this great wall, while no one knows about this wall, where it is, and these tribes behind that wall. From the Ahadith, we can see how these two tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj are cut off from civilizations. We will not know. They want to come out, and they are trying. But when they come out, the destruction and pillage they will cause is mentioned in the Ahadith. Cannot say that they are already living among people. This is not true. They are not the Chinese people, because Chinese live among people. It is mentioned that all the major walls or barriers found until today do not match the description or attributes of that particular wall. The wall of China is not made of iron or copper. Also, the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj do not fit the descriptions of any people known about. Some people say that if these tribes are really there and behind a wall, wouldn't we have discovered it already? And we could have used satellites to find them. What we should realize is that knowledge of mankind is still limited. We can see our limitations from the fact such a large airplane fell down into the ocean. It is known where it disappeared. But even after doing such intensive search using technology, we still have not discovered its remains, nor know what happened to it. Also, looking at the Bermuda Triangle, no one knows where the ships and the airplanes that have disappeared have gone to this day. They are not underwater. Such huge ships, where did they disappear? It is still unknown. Also, every day, new discoveries are being made. New species of animals that we do not even know about. Do we think that man knows each and every place on the earth, let alone people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj and Dajjal? What we should know is that they will not be exposed until it's the will of Allah for them to be exposed. Only when Allah wills these realities to be exposed, man will find out about them, and they will come out. All the discoveries that mankind has made are not due to man's own abilities. No, rather they are discovered when Allah wants them to be found, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring out Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will come out. Likewise, when the Tartars attacked the scholars of that time, they said that they were the Ya'juj and Ma'juj because of the destruction they caused. And we will learn about the way they looked. It made people think that it was those people. But later on, it was said that they are not Ya'juj and Ma'juj because from their descendants were those who accepted Islam. And from what we will learn about Ya'juj and Ma'juj from the Ahadith, we will see how they were not them. They did not match the descriptions from those mentioned in the Ahadith and what would happen to them ultimately.